Dungeons & Doritos is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all role players across Doritodonia. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Dungeons & Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop role-playing podcast. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Colin.
Hi, I'm Lefty.
I'm Rule.
On this show, we do actual tabletop role-playing using the Saga system, which Rule, our game master, designed, and we edit it together into an audio drama. That's kind of our thing here on the Nerdy Show Network. Along with Dungeons & Doritos, there's also Ghostbusters Resurrection, which recently started its third season, Pokeballs of Steelix, our series set in the Pokemon universe, and we've also got a bunch of one-shots, including our eight-part mini-series, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Each of those shows have their own feeds, but you can also find those dramatic podcasts, along with our scripted series, all in one feed at Nerdy Show Theater. Just search your podcast provider or go to nerdyshow.com/theater. Now, I'm excited to get back to our adventure en route to the Northlands, but first, what are we eating today?
All sorts of stuff. What are you eating?
Well, we're eating the same stuff you guys are, except that we do have something special here. Doritos recently did their Doritos Rainbows, which is in a charity Dorito for It Gets Better, and it's a bag of rainbow-colored Doritos. It was $10 a bag. You order them through a website, and they sent them out. We actually ordered five bags. You two should have each gotten one shipped directly to you. But these things sold out so fast that I don't know if Doritos is even going to bother to fulfill all their orders. Or maybe it's like one per IP address, but they didn't write that anywhere because we only got one bag and it's here in the studio.
Can you taste the rainbow?
Can you taste the rainbow? That's what everybody was wondering. I'm sorry to say that it turns out that the bolder flavor of the rainbow is Cool Ranch, it turns out. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Right. Yeah, everybody was wondering.
It doesn't get better. It gets worse.
But I mean, it is. I have no regret spending that money for a great charity organization. But I do kind of wonder if we're going to get those bags ever. People wouldn't necessarily know this because we haven't put out additional issues of the Dungeons and Doritos comic yet, unfortunately. But our sketch covers for the book, for the first book, was Taco Doritos around the border, a photo of them, and then I have all the other borders shot already. And they include other Doritos of different shades and colors, like Flamas and the Wasabi Doritos from back in the day. I want to do the rainbows as well. So hopefully we'll get those other bags in, because or we can use the remnants of this bag, but we gotta eat this bag here. So here's what it looks like. Rule, can you open this bag we got here?
It looks like Lucky Charms.
Or Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity
maybe?
Pebbles, yeah.
The colors are not as bold as they are featured on the bag. They're kind of pastel almost.
Yeah, this is, and it's like all orange and green.
Oh, there's blue and purple, and
but that's all I'm seeing. Oh, there's purple. Purple is so muted. It looks like it's been in the laundry like 100 times.
Well, and it shrunk because the chips are small. Smaller, they're tinier triangles.
God.
It's a weird thing.
Oh,
it's
I'm
a weird
write
thing.
A letter.
But yeah, so we got them. We've tasted the rainbow and it tastes like Cool Ranch, unfortunately. We have, however, hopefully, if Doritos claims to be so bold in America, I sent out a tweet that was like, Cool Ranch, come on, Doritos. We know your powers in Japan and you can't bring that to America. I mean, come on. Like, it, feel free to tweet at Doritos and demand the bolder flavors that are offered in other countries or anything equivalent to that in America, because we don't really have them. However, we do have a recent flavor, a new variety of the Doritos Jacked 3D, the ones you may remember shaped like ancient runes. And this is Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Bacon.
I'm not excited about the ranch part on account of the cool ranch, but bacon cheddar, that sounds good, right? Let's
yeah. I'm into all of this. All of this sounds like a great idea to me. Hmm. They somehow remind me of Cheetos.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the cheddar essence, I guess, of these is Cheeto-y.
And bacon bits, like you put on a salad.
Yeah. Admittedly, there could be more smoky bacon flavor, I would say. But they're all right. We'll keep snacking on those.
Yeah.
But just to emphasize the glory that is Doritos in Japan, we do have some Japanese Doritos. Of course we do.
Of course we do.
Colin, can you describe this bag?
Okay, well, it is a emerald green bag, and the, you know, as per usual, it's the, you know, you've got the picture of the chips on the bag, but the food that is depicted in the lower left corner is like a, it looks like tomato, like a really thick tomato soup with jalapenos, clearly, and then I don't know what those are. Those cheese sticks? Are they noodles? I don't know what they are on top.
Could be
there.
Slices of pickled daikon. I have no idea.
Yeah, but that looks good.
Well,
it looks pretty good, but it is royal rich taste tortilla chips. I have no idea what the flavor is though.
This is Doritos Royal Keema Curry. These are curry Doritos.
Curry spicy, Doritos.
Spicy curry Doritos.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah, let me crack open this.
I don't think I am ready for this. I think I'm going to stick with the bacon cheddar ranch.
Oh, my God. It's like Fort Knox getting into these bags, man. Seriously.
Japan knows how to seal for flavor. That's
yeah, dude. Seriously. All right, here we go.
You've heard about their vending machines.
All right, let's crunch it off. 3, 2, 1.
Huh. Yep. Curry.
And much like the Doritos from Japan, it's a bit sweet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's got that sweet aftertaste.
Sweet curry. And spicy. That's a good...
Mm-hmm. That is a good chip.
That's a good...
It's a great chip.
Like, relaxed burn, I want to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mellow. Well done, Japan, as usual. Mm-hmm. Keema curry Doritos. That's... Ooh, that's fine. I want more.
Yeah, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-mm. Okay. Okay. Well...
So what you're saying is I should open this bag.
You really should open it.
You really should.
All right. Jimmy Cricket, it is hard to open. It smells like real food.
Yeah. Yes. As opposed to the not real food that is Doritos.
Yeah. Like, it smells like the Indian food I get from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, you're really trying to help us get that sponsorship, aren't you?
Yeah, all right. I can get into that.
Yeah, that's Schwifty right there. Okay, so in other Dungeons & Doritos news, t-shirts. We got new t-shirts. We got t-shirts featuring all the core cast of Dungeons & Doritos, cool designs by Tony Baldini, catchphrases that you chose. If you go to nerdyshow.com/store, you have all of our various stores. We have our Shopify store where you can buy our Ghostbusters role-playing material that we use to play Ghostbusters Resurrection, as well as the classic Dungeons & Doritos t-shirt, other Nerdy Show shirts, and D&D dice bags, stuff like that. But you'll also see our Society 6 store where you can buy prints of episode artwork for Dungeons & Doritos and Lightning Dogs, our Bandcamp store where you can purchase the score for Dungeons & Doritos and support the awesome guys who make the score for this, Ryan and Mike McQuinn. Every amount that you give to us goes directly to them. And I can't emphasize enough, if you love the cinematic sound of Dungeons & Doritos, anything, and even a small amount, is really worthwhile. So please consider that. And then last but not least, our brand new Amazon store where they do print-on-demand t-shirts. And that's where you're going to find these new Dungeons and Doritos shirts made just for you, shipped directly to you. So check those out. We'll have links to all that on this episode's page, but also you can go to nerdyshow.com/store. If you love Dungeons and Doritos, rating and reviewing us on iTunes would be the biggest help. We could really use that love. Any opportunity to spread the word, share it with a friend, keep Dungeons and Doritos alive, and to do so, we got to get that word out. We got to get more listeners. This is obviously a very involved show to produce, so we could use the support. If you're not backing us on nerdyshow.com/Patreon, please consider it. Again, even a dollar a month is a major help and gets you all kinds of stuff, including hours and hours of Dungeons and Doritos content, deleted scenes, outtakes, even an entire episode that is non-canonical. So there's lots of stuff over there. Check it out at patreon.com/nerdyshow. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of talk. Let's get to the action. But do consider all that, because we run on you. If it wasn't for you guys, this wouldn't be happening at all. So if you can support us, please do. It's all up to you. I don't want to put pressure on you, but it's the ball is in your court. Let's dive into adventure right now. Let's get to it.
When last we saw our heroes, they found a bookie-wook of magics and strange writings that they couldn't understand. Illiterate fools, they identified the languages from the land of the north, where scary giant men rape and pillage and pillage and rape. And so they traversed across the seas against their better judgment to try to find, hopefully, the answer to Bartholomew Gleeman's ill-fated lycanthropy. But they were found by giant men. They said unto them, "Hey, you tiny men, we could shatter you into a million pieces and then stuff you up our butts and then fart you out in the ocean. But we won't. But we might. But you better spin us some yarns and tell us a good tale, or we shall slay thee where you stand." So we now return to our regularly scheduled Dungeons and Doritos. This has been Galdap. Thank you for listening. I too accept contributions at patreon.com/galdap. It's mostly softcore pornography writings. Fan fiction, Sonic the Hedgehog specifically. Anyway, tune in next time. Wait, no, here's our story ongoing.
You guys are resting after traveling for a couple hours with the Northlanders. They're poring over the book that you found in the south. One of the older warriors specifically is looking at it. He is talking to the bearded Northlander. The older one stands up, hands the book back to the bearded one, and walks over towards you guys. You guys are still armed. The rest of the Northlanders are all kind of just hanging around. Some of them are eating some salted meats and, you know, just basically just waiting for everybody to move on. When he walks back over to you, in turn, just looks you up and down for a minute, sits down next to you. "You called them werewolves?"
Yes? What do you call them?
Well, here, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. They are the Berserker Gang.
Oh.
They're the Broden's chosen warriors.
The Broden?
He's a god. You'd call him a god.
Okay. And they're for sure, like, they turn into wolves? Those same deals?
Yeah, when they want.
When they want?
Yeah.
Not at the mercy of the moon?
Oh, well, when they first start out, yeah, that's a problem, but they master it, and it's like I said, it's a blessing. They're mighty warriors. No steel can harm them.
I cock an eye at Barty.
Mm-hmm. Nodding at Jamala.
Well, I assure you that the creatures in the Southlands, oh, they are vile, wretched, without any kind of god or organization. The only god they worship is pain and fear. And not like the fun kind, well, they're monsters. I mean, they're monsters.
Actually, Jamala, if you recall, there was that little girl werewolf we ran into, and she turned into a werewolf on command. I mean, she was able to do it on her own. It didn't have anything to do with the moon.
I thought it was because of the horrible dark magics that had ensnared the town in night.
Oh, seemed pretty spontaneous to me.
Well, Barty, sure.
It was rather off the record, it was rather spontaneous. But it is also logical to assume that the magic and energy around the city is different.
Right.
Giving them a different level of control over their powers. But,
right.
You know, you guys just don't know enough about it. But these guys, his attitude is he's confused about your story, which he goes on. So in the South, there are monsters who eat you.
Well, I mean, where aren't there monsters that eat you, right?
Oh, welcome to the North. There's all kinds of different types of monsters here.
Your reputation precedes you.
No, not us.
Not you. I didn't mean you. I assume you've got, like, you know, crazy, like, whale bears or octa bears or tiger bears. I don't know.
This isn't a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Does he know what that is?
No, that was me out of character.
Well, I mean, it's Dungeons and Doritos. There's wolf bears, there's owl bears.
Good point.
Duck rabbits.
So you want to know how to kill them?
They did used to be people. So we believe to kill them you need silver. That seems like the best course of action.
Yeah, it works.
But really we're interested in how to cure them, if there's any kind of antidote or what would be a poison to the werewolf themselves would release the man beneath.
The old man looks around and he says something to the group of Northlanders, but in their own tongue. They all just start laughing hysterically. It's like, I just told them they just they have berserker gangs that want to not be berserker gang.
Yeah, it's
well, yes.
It's like saying I'm really, really strong, but I want to be weak.
How do the Berserker Gang become Berserker Gang?
It's a blessing from Broden. It's their secrets. You'd have to... I tell you what. We have a thing. Now, we could use your help with being Southlanders and soft, squishy people.
Go on.
You help us with this thing, and we will introduce you to our King's Berserker Gang, and maybe they can help you.
That would be very agreeable, yes.
Yes, show us your thing.
Yeah, show us your thing, big boy.
Great, let's go. So, as you guys are leaving and you're walking, he starts to tell you this story. The tribe, or the people that you saw them kill, that was a scouting party from another kingdom. And as he's describing the kingdoms and stuff in the Northlanders, you get the sense that the kings are really just villages, and they've got the biggest house. But what had happened is they had actually found something, and the scout party had also found the same thing, and were following it, and it's related to the Southland. And once they captured this thing that they were all tracking, they then chased the scouting party to kill them so they couldn't take this back to their king and let the king know that this thing existed. And he's real cagey about what this thing is, but he seems to find that it's extremely important, or it could be extremely important, and that it's kind of lucky that we found you guys.
Yes, highly fortuitous, I'm sure. But what is the thing? Where is it?
It's just a few miles off. Trust me, when you see it, you won't believe it.
Very well.
So you guys continue on. A few miles later, you see... You can't even believe what you're seeing. It's a Northland. It's a long ship with oars and a sail and a mast, but the mast has been knocked over, and it looks like it's crash landed or beached on a hill, and you're miles away from the ocean.
Huh. And
how did this get here?
Yeah, what he said.
It was in the sky.
The sky.
It flies.
It
flew.
The ship flies.
It's a flying ship, built like our ships. You see the shields. There's shields on the ship, and they look like the types of shields that these guys carry.
And even though this is a Northlander ship, you don't know where it came from, but it came from the sky.
It came from the south. Southlanders were flying it.
Huh. Southlanders? Well, where did the Southlanders go?
Yeah, there's a couple still alive over there. We've got men watching it.
Lefty, you ever see a flying ship before?
Nope.
You ever hear any old pirate shanties about flying ships.
I mean, I always thought it would be cool to have one, but I never thought they were real.
Well, this is clearly the work of magics, and I can certainly determine...
Do any of your,
I'm lying now, but I can certainly figure out... I didn't say that aloud. Just, I know you're fussy with that game, I did not say that aloud, but I could certainly, determine how such a thing is possible.
Do any of your shamans know how to make a ship fly, or have they heard of anything like this before?
No. We saw it flying in the sky, we decided we want that, and we knocked it out of the sky.
Oh, well, good job.
You brought it down? How did you bring it down?
Storm tamer. We all have storm... Every raiding party has a storm tamer, especially when you go out on the sea. You need somebody... If the storms get really strong, you need somebody that can calm the storms. So our storm
tamer... Why don't we have one of those?
I was just looking around being like, whoa, where did you get that?
Yeah.
The storm tamer, the person that can talk to the storms and make them quiet, can also make them angry. Really strong winds, a couple of bolts of lightning, and boom, these Southlanders flew right into the hill, and now it's our ship.
Except how come you don't know how to do that, Jamala?
There's no sky in the steam tunnels, Potty. I didn't see the sky until VMAC dragged me out from underneath the earth.
Nah, magic's magic.
Though, I can make the rain of ice and fire that's got lightning in it. It's just it's not the same, right?
You just, you know, talk to your Tiamat friend and, you know, he'll tell you what's up.
She...
How to fix it.
She is not one to take calls on a whim.
Mm.
But,
that sounds like you're not talking to the right person, then.
Hush up. what's your name, anyhow?
Greybeard.
Ah, Greybeard. So, Greybeard, with us, when it crashed, where did the Southlanders go? Did you round them up, imprison them, slave them, kill them?
Most of them died. A couple survived, and they were over there. They were, we left them with some of our men when we went after the scouts.
Huh. Have you learned anything from these Southlanders about how they made this magic happen?
They're lying to us. They said they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, likely story. Okay.
Well, let's go meet these Southlanders. Maybe we could... talk, you know, man to man. Southlander to Southlander.
You can find out how they make the ship fly, so we can have our own flying ships, and we can get you with the Berserker game.
That sounds great. That's a win-win.
Win-win.
All right, so as you guys get closer, you see that the Northlanders suddenly get nervous. They loosen their weapons, they draw out their shields and their spears, and they start crouching down a bit, and then they start to fan out.
Whoa. Greybeard, what's...
Shut up.
Greybeard kneels down and motions for you all to kneel down.
Ah, okay.
There's something wrong. The guards, they're dead.
Oh.
Somebody's been here.
Shit.
Okay.
After about 30 seconds, all of the Northlanders come back. They're putting their shields back on, their spears back on. The large woman with the long black beard shakes his head. Are all gone.
All your guards and all the people from the ship?
Guards are dead. The Southlanders are gone. They took them.
Who took them?
They took what?
Whoever came and killed the guards.
You don't think that it was the people who seemed defenseless before and tricked you? Well, your guards are dead. I mean, something happened.
They were bound. They were gagged. There were only two of them.
Oh.
Do you think two of you could take out all of us?
If they can make a ship fly.
Yeah, what he said.
A smith can make a sword doesn't mean he knows how to swing it.
Yeah. Well,
Fair point.
All right,
Fair point, large man.
So we got problems. We're near the wreckage of the ship, yeah. I assume.
You can see it very clearly from where you're at. You're maybe 100 yards from it is where Greybeard had stopped you, and the Northlanders kind of fanned out and then came back, as if they were kind of scouting the perimeter to see if there were still enemies around.
So is there really like a... How much of the ship is intact?
It looks like a ship that's just beached.
Okay.
The mast is broken, but otherwise, without actually inspecting every part of it, it looks like you could push it out in the water and it would float.
I mean, if it's an airship, it doesn't necessarily have to be watertight.
Did any of your men search the ship after they disappeared?
Yes. Books, food.
But I mean, just now. after they disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
They could be hiding in there.
No, yeah, everything's searched. It's gone. Everybody's gone. Huh. Some of the Northlanders are already stacking the bodies side by side. One of them comes back holding a sword, talking in, or it's one of the women, talking in the Northlander tongue. So it seems our scout party was part of a war party. So the same weapons on the men that we killed earlier. They found the ship and took the Southlanders.
I'm going to go up to the ship, and I've been able to smell blood and, you know, battle and all that stuff. I'm going to sniff the ship.
Go ahead.
I want to sniff it. What do I roll for that?
Roll like a normal spot check, like a search.
All righty. I want to see if I, like, you know, it's from the south.
And add plus
see
three.
See if I pick up something.
Plus three anytime you're using search or detection when you're trying to use, like, smell.
All right. 13.
Okay. You kind of, you're actually trying to tap into this part of you now, and you realize your sense of smell is much keener, but you're also noticing things. Like a hunter is hunting prey, you're noticing things that the prey would have. If this was how you had to survive and eat, you would notice things about the environment that would be different. This is your livelihood. This is the only way you survive. So you notice things like where a rock is scuffed and moved out of joint slightly, as well as the smell of different people going off in a specific direction. A little bit of rope that has been chaffed loose of the bindings and is just like little threads that are lying in the ground where these Southlanders were sitting. You could see where they were sitting. The grass and the earth is disturbed just enough. Like, all these things are almost glowing to you. You notice this. You can see the path. You're pretty sure it's about a dozen of these Northlanders plus two Southlanders, and they went this way.
Excellent. All right. Well, hey, using my expert, you know, eyes and senses, I can tell that they went this way. They went that way.
As you said, they went that way. Three of the other Northlanders pointed in the same direction just to prove a point because they're assholes.
Expert Gleeman. Well done. 4 stars.
Shut up, Jack. Did you know in which direction they went? No?
Couldn't be bothered.
Greybeard kind of wipes his hands. Okay, well, that's that. Time to head home.
Time to head home?
What
we
about-
clearly need to go after these Southlanders.
No.
We need to find out how the ship flies.
No, you do. The ship doesn't fly. They're not going to be able to get those Southlanders to tell them any more than we were able to. It's done. It's over with.
Well, I guess we're heading in the direction of which I pointed and, you know, the other guys pointed.
So you're going after them?
Well, yeah. Well, we got to find out. We got to do this thing for you, unless you're just going to send us to the,
hell no.
You know, your rage bros.
No, but deal's a deal. If you want to talk to the Berserker gang and you need to bring the Southlanders back.
Well, then I guess we got to go in that direction then.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. And where will we find you when we need our answers about the Berserkers?
Tell you what, we'll keep a scout here at this ship. Every day at sundown, there'll be a scout here. Once the sun starts setting, they'll be here. When the sun sets, they'll be leaving. It gives you about 3 hours at this spot every day. One of the Northlanders whispers something in the Greybeard's ear. Ah, that's an excellent point. One of you is staying with us.
What? These are Northlanders. We're squishy Southlanders. We need everybody we've got.
You would have us be even more outmatched?
Yes. Because if you do rescue these Southlanders and they tell you how to fly the ship, what's to stop you from just taking the ship?
That we want our information.
I don't believe it.
We came all the way out here for it.
You might have come for the ship.
And made up this story about the werewolves?
Yes.
Ah, you give us more credit than we deserve.
Probably.
But we will do what you said we'll do, but... And I look to Jack.
We're going to take the woman.
Oh.
Under no circumstances.
You're not taking her.
Also, do you mean me or do you mean her?
Yeah, which woman?
They don't know that Jamala is a woman. They just see a lizard person.
Oh, man.
Okay. No. She's our best fighter. If we're to do this, we must have her.
The woman.
Also, I'm the one with ship knowledge, theoretically.
What about the almost woman man thing?
Again, are they pointing to me?
No, they're pointing to Jack.
Oh.
Can't keep Bertie.
Don't. Yes, the Gleeman, he certainly, you should be best of friends with him. Not your old pal, Jack. Jack is a master swordsman as well. Thank you very much.
Gleeman, he can track. You can't.
Yeah, see? Look at that. We pointed in the right direction.
You need your leader, your fighter.
Four stars.
You need your leader, your fighter, and a tracker. You're useless.
You haven't seen me use my blade.
He stands up real close to Jack, looks down at him, and goes, draw your sword.
Oh, do it. Do it.
Are we to duel, Greybeard?
What's a duel? I was just going to kick your ass.
Come on, Jack. You can do it. This is just one tall guy. What are you talking about? You can take him. Clearly.
How close am I to the Gleeman?
Not close enough.
About 4 feet away.
Can I reach him? Can I touch him? Can I flick him in the nose?
Yes.
I flick him in the nose. Dismissed.
I acrobatics out of the day that flick.
Oh, God.
Yes, why don't you turn it into a thing? You always turn it into a thing.
Doing it.
That's your D12 thing. That's your thing
five.
That you do.
I rolled a 13.
Okay, you subtly move your head back an inch and dodge the flicking.
Exactly.
I scowl at him. Scowl deeply. Well, great.
Yeah, Jack, why don't you fight this man? Clearly you are stronger than him. You're faster than him. You could beat him. Go for it.
Well, I'd like to think myself smarter than him as well, and clearly he's going to pound me into a pulp. There's nothing I can do.
Poor little Jack can't do anything against a big, big man with a gray beard.
I am seething with rage, but doing my best to disguise it. Oh, Barty, you card.
Can't even hit a Gleeman on the nose with his finger. Oh, poor little Jack.
Someday I will murder you and it will be exquisite.
Not if I murder you first.
We're old chums. Yeah, I know how to choose my battles, Barty Gleeman. That's why I've stayed alive this long, albeit, you know, some days are better than others.
Yeah, you have people fight for you is what you're saying.
Pshaw. I could best you in a duel, but you don't fight fair.
Would you like to try right now?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Ah, all right, fine. I draw my rapier.
Fancy a bit of sport, Greybeard? Huh?
I'm bored.
You shall see a duel. You shall see two men duel.
Two women slapping each other. I don't care.
I draw my rapier and I turn on Barty Gleeman.
I have my great rapier already out and I'm matched his sword to
my
sword.
Okay. Battle. I am battling.
I'm gonna take him down. He's going out. This is it. This is the moment. This is it. I'm killing you now. This is happening. This is it.
Wow.
Right in front of the flying ship. I'm gonna kill you.
Okay.
Black Pepper Jack. No one's doing anything. All right. This is happening. Do rapier.
I got a better idea.
I feel like we've seen this episode.
But you haven't seen the death of...
Greybeard hits Jack right on the head, just overhand, almost like a single-handed tomahawk hit with his fist on the top of Jack's head. Jack's eyes roll to the back of his head and collapses like a sack of potatoes.
Barty.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then I give the thumbs up to the Northlander, and I advance on him with my rapier.
Now, if you want to kill him, you have to come and get him, because he's coming with us.
All right. Fine. You keep your little, your precious, precious man safe.
Whoa, that escalated quickly. Well, thanks, Greybeard, for defusing that situation.
Oh, I'm not defusing anything. I know that if I really, really want to kill somebody, I will do whatever it takes to get to him. That man obviously wants to kill that man really badly. Now I have that man in my custody, so.
Problem solved.
You're smarter than I thought, Greybeard. Well done.
All right, then. We shall meet your scout soon. And we will get our information, find out how this ship sails the air, and we shall meet again.
Without a word, the Northlanders, one of them picks up Jack basically by his belt and just carries him like a case. They start heading to the west.
Well, they're leaving. I'm facing the direction that Barty and the Vikings, and the Northlanders pointed earlier, and I say, well, all things considered, that could have gone worse.
Could have gone better, too.
Let's sally forth, wolf boy.
Yeah, I guess I'm heading out, so I'll go fast. So I'll lead the pack, as it were.
Ooh.
Barty is a dog on a scent. He's moving fast through the trees, and you guys are actually kind of struggling, wondering if you're keeping up with him or if he's maybe just kind of gone crazy here and he doesn't really have the scent anymore. But he's moving so quickly, he's using both his hands and his feet to get past terrain and stuff. He's low, he's running, he comes up to a tree, you know, both hands pushing him forward. And he just keeps moving and moving and moving and moving and doesn't seem to stop. Barty, you're just kind of like, in your own head, time hasn't passed. You don't feel like you're hurrying. You don't feel like any, you've got prey. And they're ahead of you and you're getting closer and closer and closer. And the closer you get, the more excited you get. You guys don't really even see what he's following. You don't understand the trail that he is leading you on. And without knowing, Barty, at one point while he's moving forward, he draws out two daggers and he's kind of holding them down by his hips, but he's still like leaning forward, you know, his head forward, and he's just moving through everything. And he's breathing heavier, not from exhaustion, but you can see like the eagerness in his eyes.
I assume Lefty and I both noticed that this is weird.
Yeah.
Keep up.
Really not his normal behavior.
Keep up. We must go faster. Come on. We must go faster. Faster.
Yeah. Hey, Barty, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. Come on, Jamala, let's go. You're slowing it down.
I whisper to Lefty, well aware that his wolf ears might be hearing me. I don't know. If anything weird happens, be ready to subdue him.
On it.
I'd like to see you try.
Uh-oh.
We're just looking out for you, pal! does it look like... are we even on anything resembling a trail? I mean, should I be suspicious about anyone having even come this way, let alone a war party and two prisoners?
Yeah, you haven't seen anything. And he's not giving any indication. Now, he's seeing things. He's seeing, you know, little scraps of hair from the Northlanders. He's seeing little spots of blood where... one of them might have brushed up against a tree and he's got a cut on him. He's seeing like these small, minute details, but he's not pointing them out. He's just going. He's going and going and going. And Barty, you have never felt so good.
Oh, yeah. I feel great.
You're feeling like high as a kite. This is awesome. This is what you were born to do.
Are you like chasing a pig or something? Or like maybe another dog that smells real nice? What are you doing?
This is the direction! Jamala, alright, do you see this little hair right here? Do you see it? And I hold it up for him, and it's like minuscule, you can't even see it. You see this hair?
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. That came from a Northlander. Alright, you see that little speck of blood over there on that tree?
Maybe?
Yeah, that came from the wrist of one of the Southlanders. We are on the right path, and we are losing ground as slow as you are going. There's no time to talk, we have to go!
Even the air to Barty tastes like sweaty men. It really does.
And he loves it.
And he does. So he does. It's like a medium rare steak sizzling on the grill. It's just, you know, it's about to hit your plate and it just smells so good and it's going to taste so good. It's going to be eating some really good food in about 30 minutes here and it's going to be awesome.
Lead the way.
And then I'm already just gone into the forest.
We're trying to keep up.
You guys run through, you're passing by these rocky hills and outcroppings and stuff, and then you find yourselves in like this gully, and you're moving through and you hear water, and then Barty just stops cold, just a dead stop, and starts creeping forward real slowly. Again, he's got the daggers in his hands, but he's almost crawling forward. And you guys, when you catch up, you're panting with exhaustion.
I guess we should get down.
Yeah, Jamala, shut up. Stop breathing so hard. Why are you breathing so hard? This wasn't that fast. It wasn't that hard. I was slowing down for you people. Come on.
You're crazy, Birdie.
Slow down. you need to slow down. There's something up ahead. You need to stop breathing so hard. It feels like you're waking up the entire forest.
Okay. All right, fine.
You can like smell the sweat and fatigue from them, and you're like, that's almost kind of making you a little sick, but at the same time, you're real close to the trail. But when you start to round the corner, and you guys are all rounding the corner at the same time with you two, you know, Jamala and Lefty kind of following behind, you hear it, but I don't think Barty understands that he's doing it. You hear like this kind of deep throaty, like growl, like a dog might make before it warns you, or that it's warning you to back off. You hear that coming actually from Barty. But Barty, what you see is you see one of the Southlanders. He's actually robed in a very elegant mage's robe.
You've seen these before. I know where this is going.
You've seen these robes before. They're actually they were really popular on the Isle of Mages when you were there.
Yeah, we tried to get some of those robes, but you know, everybody else was trying. Don't assault the, you know, girl.
Velma was a very nice lady, and you are mean.
I was just trying to get some robes.
They're about, you know, this is about a 75-foot wide, like, I don't want to say river, more like a stream. There, that mage is being guarded by a really brutish-looking Northlander. And they're almost across the stream, and they keep looking back. The Northlander keeps looking back, and then he catches your eye. He sees you guys moving forward, and he kind of grins, and he pushes the mage forward, who falls down. And he looks back, and he shouts, "Help! Help!"
Does he know we're here?
Yeah, the Northlander saw you.
How the hell did he see us?
Because they're Northlanders. They know this place like the back of their hands. Nah. And you stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, but I could, you know, I was going to go up in the trees.
No, there's no trees right around where you're at. You're like in a gully at the bank of a stream.
You kind of described it, but set the stage for me between us and them and what we all see.
It's almost like two hills, at the bottom of two hills, where two hills meet in this kind of gully area. It's all rocky with just kind of grass, but you are at a rocky stream bed. You can see basically how low the water is, that at certain times of the year, the water level must be much higher, probably over your head. But where you're at right now, you're a few feet away from the water line, and the whole thing is about 75 feet wide. At the far side of it, knee deep in the water, is one of the Northlanders, one of the mages, heading across the stream, and on the other side of the stream is another forest. So they're heading towards that forest and away from you guys.
Ah, okay. Well, and then throwing dagger to the dude. I'm going to run straight at him, okay, and throwing dagger him in the face.
Okay. You've already got him out. You're actually almost surprised to see that they're in your hand already. You don't remember pulling them out, but, you know, you were hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and roll the throwing dagger attack.
Yeah.
And be advised that if you miss, you could hit the mage.
She'll be fine. Is it a boy or a girl?
Boy. You couldn't tell until he shouted that it's a boy.
He'll be fine. Let's see. That would be a 13.
And you missed. The dagger hits the water.
Ah. Well, I'm still running like full tilt at this, okay, at the Northlander. So it's a throw with one dagger, and then I'm planning to really quickly, like, how tall is this man?
From where you're at, he looks around the same size as the other Northlanders.
So how tall would that be?
About 7 foot.
Okay. Either depending on his stance, about where how he reacts to it, I want to either cut alongside of him, go underneath him, or go to the other side of him.
Okay. Jamala and Lefty?
I'm not sure that we have any chance of legitimately keeping up with Barty at this rate. And I'm also worried that we're walking into some kind of an ambush, because there's only one of each of them. I would like to follow Barty, but be very cautious of the sides of us if anything strange is happening.
Yeah, I imagine that as Barty is, like, doing all of this stuff, Jamal and I are exchanging a lot of looks. And so I think we're probably in a good, like, no one's sneaking up behind us kind of, like, moving, walking stance where we're kind of, like, shoulder to shoulder and, like, trying to run and pay attention to everything.
All right, you guys are getting used to me.
Well, also, you know, like, there's two dudes when we know there's way more than two dudes.
I just can't help it. I gotta get this guy.
No, you can't. Yeah, you're this is a rabbit and you're on the hunt. And you guys are really this was extremely smart here, because going out to the water, you have almost no sight line for the land on your side of the stream going on either side. Like, this trail going through this little gully and everything set you guys up where if you weren't looking backwards on opposite ends of the stream, anybody could be hiding around some sort of rock or outcropping into the stream. You would not see it until you were in the water. So as Barty is scrambling through the stream and he winds up being waist deep, you guys are about knee deep when you see the tips of spears and shields that are just kind of poking out from the rocks on the other side of the stream.
Are they near us, or has Barty gone past them?
There is not a lot of bank along this stream that you guys can see going upstream or downstream because of the way the hills are sloping down into the water. So as you guys are going across the river following after him, you're about ankle to knee deep in the water when you can see that upstream and downstream there are rocks and outcroppings where people could be hiding, and you see the tips of spears and shields from people hiding there waiting for you to probably get about halfway across the stream, at which point there's probably more people on the other side of the river hiding behind trees, and then you guys are going to be completely encircled.
Tactfully, is this a position where I would think it wise to say, Barty, it's a trap? Or is that, like, not the idea? I mean, noticing this, is that the ideal reaction? Or is that, and I'm considering, like, oh no, what am I seeing? Am I going to yell it's a trap? Or am I going to realize that that's our problem now and Barty's too far gone?
That is probably your problem now. Because Barty is, although he's too far gone, you know that if you even say anything to him, he's probably going to just care about getting the one that he's after. That being said, a trap like this, an envelopment like this, being encircled from all sides, you don't fight all sides. You fight one side and create a hole. You know? And exactly. And you have your way out. And you have a way where you can start to outflank and outmaneuver the enemy. So they have numbers, size, and you don't really know what the numbers are. You know what the attacking party had, but how many were left behind to slow you down? Was it all dozen, two dozen of these men, or was it just a small handful meant to slow you down and ward you off? You don't know that, but you do know that you've got upstream or downstream is where you guys want to either defend or fight against. You don't want to be waist deep in the water like Barty is right now. If you push that far into the water, your mobility is screwed. Lefty is useless, nearly useless in that kind of environment. They have spears, they have bows. If they're anything like the other Northlanders, they will be able to kill you in that water.
Has Lefty also seen the spears?
I would assume so. They're not really well hidden. Their idea of an ambush was to leave bait out there, and you guys would be stupid enough to charge in, and then they would close in the gap behind you.
Well, I'm going to try to take the shock and awe approach.
Okay.
And I would like to initiate an invocation of ice and fire atop where those guys are hiding.
Okay. Roll it. So which ones are you attacking, upstream or downstream?
The one in the direction that Barty's gone. Or he's gone straight and they're on the sides.
Yeah, he's going towards the one that's holding the mage. If you hit that spell, you're going to hurt the mage. You can't see the people on the other side that might be hiding in the trees. The only ones you know about are the ones that are upstream and downstream of your side of the stream.
Also might be another mage at one of those points or somewhere.
It's unlikely that, I mean, think about that tactically. Why would you have another mage?
We'll go downstream.
Okay. All right, go ahead and roll that, please.
7 plus 2, 9 plus 5, 14 plus 2, 16.
Yep, you hit it. All right, go ahead and roll your wisdom-based effect.
6, 9, 12.
What's the... It doesn't have a size level. That's going to be probably a limb spell. So basically, Jamala stops in the water. She's about knee-deep in the water. She's waving her hands and closing her eyes and saying her prayer, and a wind appears across some of the rocks, and it coalesces, and moisture gets drawn up into it, and it starts to crackle and flame while she's doing this. You actually see some of those Northlanders, three of them, pop up out of the rocks, and they're staring up at the sky around them, and they start to back up, but the thing just kind of all of a sudden takes on this ferocious life of its own, and fireballs and wind and ice just start spiraling into a tornado. You hear the screams and cries of those men over there, and then they just suddenly, all you hear is the elemental energy swirling around, and when it dies down, you see nothing but, you know, one arm sticking out from the rocks with a weapon free from its hand about 2 feet away.
I come out of that with a certain post-orgasmic intensity.
So is it downstream taken care of now?
Yeah, she just killed all three
of them. Wow. All right, Jamala.
My communion with Rubeoff and Sapphire are the heads of Tiamat. It's doing quite well.
As soon as that the cries are silenced, a horn blasts from within the trees on the far side of the stream, and four men from the upstream side of where you guys are at start charging across the water. Shields raised, two of them stop, and two more hurl their spears towards you guys.
Duck and cover!
Who are they hurling the spears at?
Jamala and Lefty.
Awesome.
Okay. One of them lands in the water just a foot away from Lucy, or from Lefty. And then the other one skips down into the water about 3 feet away from Jamala before it came up short. And as soon as they throw the spears, they run forward towards and hit the water's edge and get down on one knee. And then the ones that were holding the shields in front of them, they pull out their spears and are preparing to throw. But it's Lefty's turn. She's actually able to move while they're moving as Barty closes the distance on the other Northlander.
I mean, like, it seems like my usual tact of charge is not going to be effective and end well in this instance. Do I see any place that I could take a defensive stance or...
There's rocks that are kind of sticking out of the water that you could, you know, kind of use as cover.
Okay. I guess I'm going to go to there.
Barty, as you're now almost, you're waist deep in the water and you're moving forward, the Northlander that has the mage with him, he pushes the mage onto the far shore. He grins, turns towards you, pulls out his axe in his shield, steps forward to about knee deep in the water for him. And he's laughing and he's banging his shield. Come on, come on!
Oh, I'm coming!
And Jamala, that spell took a while for you to hit, so you're in kind of an immediate danger right now.
Yeah, and it's taking a bit to come out of. So, I too am going the duck and cover situation here.
All right, you duck and cover, Lefty ducks and cover as you're trying to get scrambled behind the rocks. The spears are futilely thrown your way, and they both hit the rocks that you guys are hiding behind with no fanfare or danger whatsoever. You hear them saying, you know, barking orders at each other, and you can see them start to spread out. They saw what, you know, they know that there's a threat that they shouldn't be facing all grouped up, so they're kind of fanning out too.
I have an idea that's, I need to ask you whether or not it is actually something that would be effective based on the scenario and my own magic and how it works. What if I shot an avenging light into the water? Would it create, with its heat and its force, a sort of burst that would distract and fill the gully with like, you know, mist and perspiration and so on, enough for us to basically run away and escape to hopefully the direction that Barty's gone to?
Yes.
That's what I would like to do.
Okay. All right, so go ahead and cast it.
All right, here we go. Ooh, so good. So good. This is going to be great.
Kind of wishing you'd hit somebody with that one instead, huh?
All right. Well, they're spread out now. If they're grouped together, ooh, primo. It's a 9 + 3 + 8.
Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 20 + 2, 22.
Okay.
And my effect, 11 + 3, 14 + 3, 17.
All right, so that's, we're going to add an extra 2 points for a really nice casting, and so give you 19. So what happens, you cast the Avenging Light, and you hit the water, and it basically causes this loud splash and a sizzle, and now that whole area where you hit the water for about 20 feet around in a circle is a really solid, massive steam, and it's kind of spreading out. Gets thinner the farther away it is, but it's kind of masking that hole almost like a screen. But it's actually so big, the area is so big, it's actually kind of covering where you guys are at too. So now all six of you are in this kind of fog, and you can hear them splashing as they are dragging themselves through the water, trying to and shouting out to each other.
I scamper over to where Lefty is, trying to be as quiet as possible, but also as fast as possible. That's most important. And signal that now that we can see each other, that we should head to where Barty's gone.
Okay. You also, Lefty, you guys also have a much clearer advantage than you've ever had before in this fight. You know exactly where they are by the sounds that they're making. They have no idea where you guys are now.
How long is this cloak gonna last us?
It could last seconds, it could last hours, but she's a sword fighter. She knows a half a second is an hour in a fight.
So is there anyone near enough to attack?
You could probably do a kind of a quiet charge and hit somebody before they even were able to react to you. They can't defend against your sword because they can't see it.
Okay.
But you're also at that same disadvantage. If they hear or see you or realize where you are, you can't really defend because you can't see what you're defending. You're basically, any defense you have here is going to be at a -9.
Okay. And we're still in the water, so we're making splashy, splashy noises.
No, you're not, because you guys are standing still. You heard Jamala approach only in the sense that you heard the water change its kind of tone as it's splashing past the rocks.
Okay.
These guys are stomping through this thing, shouting at each other.
Okay, so they won't hear my splashy splashy. Well, is there one who's separate from the herd?
Yeah, he's about 8 feet away. You don't know how separate from the herd he is, but you hear him shouting to the others, and the others shouting doesn't seem to be as close.
Cool. Okay. Well, if he's shouting, maybe if people are paying attention to him. So if he suddenly has a sword run through him, people will freak out and run away because they'll think there are ghosts.
I didn't think of that, but possibly.
Okay, I wanna stab him, and while doing it, I'm going to be aware that magic cloak may not last forever. So I'm also ready to. I'm really gonna be quick in and out on this one.
And to say that it doesn't last forever doesn't mean it can't start back up again.
Okay.
Yeah, could always do it again.
Yes, exactly. So there is that. Okay, so you're moving in. You're basically listening for the shouting, and then you actually, the one that's closest to you is actually muttering to himself. It almost sounds like he's bitching, like he's like, fucking steam, goddamn little Southlanders, and they're, you know, you don't know what he's saying, but it sounds like he's just bitching.
Cool. I love taking down self-victims.
Okay. When you get closer to him, you can actually make out his large mass form. You're comparatively speaking, you're crouching, you're kind of sneaking, you're in the water. It's almost at, like, chest high for you. You're just basically a weapon and a head above the water. He's this big, towering, 7-foot-tall guy about in the water about 2 feet deep, and he's a massive shadow. That's so for anybody listening and trying to kind of figure out why this is working the way it's working, it's because she is stalking him. If anybody did see the shadow that is Lefty, they would think it was just another rock until she moved again.
Cool.
For this guy, he is this looming shadow in the fog. And Jamala, you don't know that any of this is, like, tactically working in her mind, because she's a swordsman, you're not. So when you're up there thinking, okay, we can go, help Barty, she just looks at you like, what? And just moves on to go kill somebody.
Though, I am mistress of the steam tunnels. I mean, there's a reason I thought this might work.
And this is not uncommon tactic for Dragonborn.
No, it's not. I just thought maybe Bati would be the... You know, that was what was in my mind. He's going to get himself killed is what I'm thinking. But, you know, if Lefty's gone off and done it, I would hate to lose track of her. But if there's someone else in the area, I could certainly Avenging Light the flesh off their face. That's always a good trick.
Also, you have to remember that Bardi has fought larger dudes before and done pretty well for himself. He's also gotten hurt really badly. But, you know, this is just like any other fight. He's either going to win or lose, but he's definitely put himself at a disadvantage. But he's not moving like a normal Bardi right now. All right, so Lefty, you're ready to strike at the shadow. I was about to say strike from the shadows, but you're the shadow, and it's a shadow.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a shadowy overlord.
All right, go ahead and roll your attack.
9 per attack.
Yeah, and then you've got your regular skill level, which brings it up to 18.
Yeah, it does.
And then roll damage.
5.
So you basically drive your sword straight up into the mass, and as it's bitching, it just starts to choke on its own words and collapse down and splash to the water. And you hear panic from the other three as they start splashing towards where you're at.
Uh-oh. Splash away, splash away! Hide behind a rock. Get still as fast as possible.
Okay. So you're moving away as they're moving towards you, but Bardi... We're up to Bardi now. Bardi is... as you're getting closer, are you moving faster or slower as the water starts to, like, go from your chest down to your waist?
Faster.
Faster?
Always faster. And for me, like I was saying before, is that when... dependent upon how he moves or how he reacts to me going at him head on would be how I would attack him.
Okay. All right. So nobody else is watching Bardi do this fight because the other two are dealing with their thing. But for the listener, Bardi, as he moves faster, even though he's getting higher out of the water, he's crouching down lower and lower, and his daggers are now near his sides, and they're pulled back, almost like cocked. And he's getting closer, and as the water becomes easier for him to move through, he's getting faster and faster, and he starts to pant a little bit. There's that growling in the back of his throat that's actually getting louder as he gets closer. The Northlander starts banging his shield even faster, and then he throws his arms up and shouts, and then just barrels, and the two of them are like full tilt charging at each other. But Bardi is faster, so he gets the first attack.
Is his weight forward and up?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would like to... I'm going to...
He looks like a football tackle.
Yeah, all right. Except, so I'm going to go really, really low. Like, potentially even slide under him, but probably do, like, a fake as if I'm going to go up high and then... go down low and try and get his ankles.
His ankles are going to be in the water.
Oh, okay. Well, then get his knees, like right behind his knees.
All right. So go ahead. Are you hitting both knees at the same time?
Probably not. I'd like to if I could, like, go between his... If he has, you know, a high enough... If his legs are high enough to go between them, that would be my goal.
Well,
but if not...
The water's going to be kind of around knee height.
Okay, well then I'll probably go to the left or the right, depending on which side is his non-dominant hand.
Okay.
Okay. So, what shall I roll for this?
You roll your normal attack.
Excellent. That would be a 12.
Okay, go ahead and roll damage.
8.
8? Okay, so, and then we're going to add 3 more to that because of the charging distance. So... you basically run through or run towards him. Both of you guys are charging at each other. He starts his, you know, he reaches back with his axe and he starts to swing overhead as you're starting to basically veer to the right. He sees you coming and starts to bring his shield down, but manages to kind of splash the water, which messes up his attack. His sword comes down straight into, or his axe comes down straight into the water to your left, and you skirt around behind him, hit him in the back of the knee, bury your dagger all the way through the knee, and it comes out the kneecap and drops this guy to the ground. And roll wisdom.
Oh yeah, if I can stave my my bloodlust to keep him alive. Because he's thoroughly like my bitch at this point.
Yeah. You take out a knee, and that's the end of the fight.
I critically failed.
Okay. Oh, I think you guys are gonna love what happens. Nope, we're going to move on. Okay, so sorry, Barty, but we're going to be taking you out of the action for a little while. Okay, so now there's three. And Jamala, you're up.
When last we talked about these three dudes, you said they were moving towards where the companion choked up as Lefty stabbed his guts out?
Yes.
Right, well, if they're all gathering, then I'll take that opportunity to unleash a big old avenging light at where their voices are meeting, converging.
Okay.
Unless, of course, if we're losing our cover, I might want to reinstate that.
It is, like, it is starting to fade away, but it's not gone. You're starting to be able to make out, like, you can make out Lefty's shape as she's heading back towards you, and you can vaguely make out where they're at.
Well, and I'm still hidden, so as long as I get my avenging light together, and they'll be like, oh, what the hell is that light? And then I'll be bam!
Yeah, so. Okay, go ahead. I did not expect this to be a challenge, but this is fun in
but
a way.
A challenge for you or a challenge for us?
I did not expect it to be a real big challenge for you guys, but I did not expect this wholesale slaughter.
I got a 7.
I really thought you'd fall into the trap. You like trying to stun, because lately you've tried to stop Marty.
Yeah.
And until he became a werewolf, you guys always tried to run up and stop him, like hold him back. And I was counting on that, and that didn't happen. You guys are like, fuck it, let the dog go.
I got a 17 total for casting.
All right, roll damage or effect. You needed the 17. You got a 17.
aces. Well, for effect, I got an 11 plus 3... plus 3. So, 17 again.
Okay. So, we're going to... So, the big blast of Avenging Light fires down, and you hit one of them directly on. Two other ones get... you don't know if they're out, or if they're just hurt, but they both get blown back a couple of feet away from the one that you actually did hit. And, and hit the water, screaming.
Great.
And more steam and mist now from the Avenging Light.
Perfect. All right. Lefty can maybe pick up the pieces there.
Yeah, we're not even going to have to roll for that. They're in the water. She can basically... She walks over to... Are you wanting to finish them off, Lefty?
Yeah.
She walks over to one. He starts to get up. She just swipes sideways with his sword, spills his guts into the water. The other one, she just,
did you actually go boop?
Yep, I booped him.
I love you.
And then he went. It was like an intestine firework.
It was just kind of nasty. The other one is crouching on all fours, trying to pull himself together. And she walks behind him and just drops the sword straight down through his chest.
Plop.
And that's the end of them. When you turn around to go look at Barty, you see something actually kind of horrific. He's got one dagger buried into the rib cage of, and to the left side. So he's reached around from behind this guy, buried a dagger into him, and he pulls his head back away from the guy's neck. It spits something out, and it's just blood is just dripping all down Barty's mouth and shirt. And the guy's throat is ripped open, presumably by Barty's teeth. And he's just growling and snarling while he's just ripping this guy's throat off with his mouth.
Are they normal Barty teeth, or are they like weird transforming teeth?
They're normal Barty teeth. The mage is in the water at the bank. like looking at the trees, like, I don't want to go there, and seeing Barty, and like, I definitely don't want to go there. Pale, completely milk white.
So can we see that? We can see all that?
Yes.
Does Barty look like sane right now? Is he snapped out of it?
To the extent that he's just like finished up chewing on it and he's just dropped it into the water. Like he's kind of over top of it, just like breathing real heavy, and he's got the one dagger left in his hand, and he picks up, absentmindedly pulls the other one out of the guy's knee, and he's like scanning the trees.
Hey, Barty, you in there?
Roll wisdom, Barty.
What's great is that my wisdom is not really that high.
I know.
I'm so surprised.
I'm very attractive, though. I have high beauty.
Beauty subjective.
Not to me, baby. All right, let's see. I rolled a 6.
Okay. He turns back and he sees you guys, and for a minute he looks like he's, if like you told a dog to stop eating its dinner, you know, and it looks back and you're like, no, and it's a nasty, angry dog, and it looks at you like you are gonna fuck with me, but then he realizes it's talking to the pack, and not just some stranger. He kind of like relaxes a bit and looks back over his shoulder. Barty, you realize that the other Northlanders, however many, there's probably only 3 or 4 left on that side of the bank. It wasn't the whole group, but you're having trouble picking up all the scents. Mixing them with the old scents and the new, and the ones that are still there are terrified. Like, they're actually afraid, and you've not seen any Northlanders afraid, and they're leaving. And there's a very deep part of you that wants to hunt them down.
Oh.
But the other part of you is like, well, but I got what I came for. You don't even realize that there's blood in your mouth. I mean, you could taste blood, but you don't realize that you had just been chewing on a guy. So all that part of you stabbing him in the ribs and eating him, it's there in your brain. It's just like you watch somebody else do it, and it doesn't seem real.
Should I roll wisdom to chase or to not chase them?
No, you're you know, basically canines and stuff, they're pack animals. You know, when somebody calls you, it's because you're needed. You're not going to run and abandon your pack.
All right. I guess I'll stay. What, Jamala? What?
Well, you... It looks like you ate a guy, Barty.
What?
Hey, look at that guy down there. That big bloody mess there. Wipe your mouth off. You got something in your teeth.
What? No, that wasn't that. That wasn't me. That wasn't me, Jamala.
It was, yeah. And a little freaked out, but you recognize us, right? The old pals, Lefty and Jamila.
Yes. Ah! And I see like my reflection in the water, and I like quickly start to rub all the blood and the stuff off of my face.
So the mage is just over here, and he's looking at us?
Yeah, he's kind of digging his hands and knees, or hands into the ground as he's kind of pushing himself back away from Barty.
And there's one of them, right?
Just one of them.
So there's another one out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Let me pick that guy up. And I'm probably just now noticing that he's like Barty figured out where he was from, but I probably didn't.
Yeah. Definitely from the Isle of Mages.
He's gagged, right?
No, he's not. No. He should have been, but he's not.
Next he said help, help, and he right, also has the robes of the Isle of Mages.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go over to that guy. Hi, I know this looks bad, but we're here to rescue you.
You're not gonna eat me?
No, that's just him. But he's not, though. He's struggling with some early stages lycanthropy. Don't mind him. We've got him on a leash. Little dog humor there.
On a leash? He just ate a guy's throat.
Well, he also saved your life.
Ish?
Let's not count our cockatrices before they hatch, you know? There was another one of you, right? There's two of you?
Yeah, they went ahead. They used me as bait for the ambush.
How far ahead would you think they'd be by now?
I don't know how long it's been. You know, we were waiting for a little while for you guys, for any followers. We were about to give up on the idea that... Or they were about to give up on the idea that we were being pursued. So quite a little while.
Oh, damn. Look, you're from the Isle of Mages, right?
How did you know that?
We're kind of famous there, actually. Lefty and Jamela's extreme pillow fights. I do a little pose.
Never heard of it.
On the crystal balls? You never seen it?
Crystal what?
Crystal balls.
No? When were you last on the island?
Just a few months ago.
Huh. It's very popular. You should check it out sometime. We've been there, and we're here to rescue you. Though you really, man, I'm looking at Lefty. We should probably get the other one. That's not good. You came on a flying ship. Yes, your ship flew.
Yes.
What did you do on the ship? What was your role on the ship?
I was a maintainer. I just maintained the magic energies that were powering the runes.
And was the other mage who was? I assume it was a mage who was taken? They also a maintainer?
Most of us were. We just would work in shifts.
Ellie, we've got to get him. Is it him? Your friend.
There's no way we're going to catch up. And then I could see that what you did here, but I'm not going into that forest with that thing with us.
Oh, him? He's just...
I'm not... No.
Oh, come on. I'd say he won't bite, but clearly he will, but he...
There's over two dozen of these.
Two dozen? Wow. Yeah, you... That's bad. Two dozen. Look at Lefty. Two dozen? Do we want to do that? Is this good enough?
I have wiped off all the blood and bits of bone and cartilage from my mouth and face. And I walk over to the mage and Jamala and Lefty. And you're just going to leave? You're just going to leave him? You're going to leave your crew? Leave your crewmate to die?
They're not going to kill him.
How do you know? How do you know for sure?
The same reason. They can make shit fly, Barty.
Well, can you make the magic?
No. No, the ship's damaged. The runes are damaged. The Empress sent us here with one of the only two airships still left so that we could find out how they were made to begin with.
Oh, well, Empress of what? There's no Empress of the Isle of Mages.
There's been an Empress of the Mages for years.
Shoot a glance to everyone. Yeah? Yeah, where'd she come from?
She appeared on our shores in a time of great trouble, and we were all struggling. There was infighting, and there was about to be civil war, and she united the Isle of Mages. When was the last time you were there?
Oh, boy.
It feels like it was just yesterday.
That's a really complicated answer, but... it involves time travel. Yeah.
Time travel? So the last time you were there was a different time period? You've been traveling back and forth in time?
Kinda. It's really complicated, but this is,
You realize I'm a mage. I can do complicated. What I can't do is people chewing on other people.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally, well, I'd say it wasn't cool, but, again, you're alive now, so that's a perk, right? That's what we all wanted that,
I was just saved by a werewolf, and the full moon is probably just days away, and he's early onset, and he's already eating people, so not feeling a whole lot of safe right now.
Well, then how do I fix it? Do you know how to fix it?
No, there's no cure for lycanthropy.
You sure about that?
It's not my area of study.
Well, what good are you then?
Really good at enchanting.
He can make stuff float, man.
Well, he can't, clearly, because it's broken.
Look, the science of those runes is very complex, and it's not like anything we've ever actually created on the, and it's not in our histories. What the ship is obviously designed from the same framework as the Northlanders. The runes are in a similar language, so we figured if we flew the ship here, we might be able to find some record or history of how these things were made and be able to create more of them.
Where exactly were you headed? Just willy-nilly up to the Northland? Hoping to find something?
We were going to basically check the coast, look for the largest city or town, and introduce ourselves and try and see if we could figure it out. We did not realize that the whole Northland was just divided into small, isolated, quote-unquote, kingdoms of barbaric tribes.
What do you suggest we do now, then? Because the Northland and tribe wants you back to teach them how to harness and rebuild this airship.
No, I'm not traveling with you. You're a werewolf. You should have just left me with the goddamn Northlanders.
No. It's all good. Hey, what's your name, Pally boy?
Palliver.
Palliver. Well, Palliver, I'm Jamila. This is Lefty. And this is Barty. You know, this wolf thing, it's tricky, but don't even worry about it. Cause you're under my personal protection.
And what does that mean?
It means you're not going to get killed by him.
So what are you going to do with me then?
We are travelers here as well, without many resources. And I believe we found a agreeable, potentially less lethal band of northerners, Northlanders, who we can perhaps work with. I don't know what their intentions are for certain. At the very least, get a flying ship up and running. Maybe betray them, whatever makes the most sense at the time. But either way, the four of us here are no good out on our own. We've got to make an alliance of some kind.
Well, I suppose I can try working with them and see what knowledge they might have that made the airships in the beginning. In exchange, if we get one running for them, then they will let me leave with you.
That sounds great by me.
However, what are we going to do about him? He says, looking at Birdie.
You know, we might have a lead on that.
What do you mean?
They tell us that here in the Northland, lycanthropes are berserkers, and that they know how to control their powers. In exchange for finding you, they've told us we can find out where to find these berserkers and potentially help him at the very least take control of his powers, if not discover a cure.
So it's true they have skin changers? I've heard the stories. We all had to read and educate ourselves before we came here that they had skin changers. We thought that they were just stories.
I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but when we expressed concern about him, they laughed at us. They're like, who would want to get rid of this gift?
That's incredible. They can teach us so much about the disease. Maybe we could find a cure. Or at the very least, we can understand how it works. The knowledge, the lore. Oh my. Do you realize if I took any information like that and the airships, oh, I could get my own council seat.
I bet you could. So we're
Palliver, head of enchanting. No. Head of lycanthropic studies and ancient legends.
This is part of your study. Excellent. Wonderful.
It's got a nice ring to it, Palliver Palomine. My one concern is obviously taking out two dozen 7-foot-tall brutes is... Oh, that sounds difficult. But I'm concerned about that friend of yours.
These other Northlanders, do they know... Would they be able to tell where they would have taken my friend?
Possibly. They charged us with this thinking it would be impossible.
Well, then, what if we got the airship to fly? And we convince them that we can make more of them, but I need his help to do it. We repair the airship, get it back in the air, but then we can build more, but only if I had more help. Then they would have to help us rescue him.
I'm cutting this guy's hands and feet loose, and I'm like, yeah, I like you, Palova. You are. This is a good plan.
As long as the Northlanders don't kill us and he doesn't eat us.
I think we got that under control. They want you alive, and we bring you back, and they tell us what we have to do about him.
We have to figure out what to do to fix the ship. We need to figure out how the runes were written, what process they used, and what material, so that we can... That's all we need. That's all we need. The secret's the runes. If we can find out who made the runes, we can find out how the ship was made. We can fix it.
Well, tally-ho, let's find a rune crafter.
I guess we got to go back to the other tribe.
I help him up, and... Point in the direction from whence we came.
Body gleaming, he's got the bloodlust. Look at him. He's gonna vomit out human flesh later. That's somebody's fetish. It's like my old pal Warren Zevon used to say, you better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. Nope, the gleeman's a lost cause. He's gonna eat them all. Unless I have seen it in my seeing spheres. My orbs of fortune. They see two things. They see the mega money Powerball numbers, and they see when people eat other people. Very specific.
You keep playing with those if you're blind.
No one juggles Galdap's balls but Galdap, and no one tells Galdap how to juggle his balls. Sir! You wouldn't even know what to do with them. Anyhow, tune in next time for an all-new installment of Dorito Show Dungeons with those together, taken together. Anyway, have a wonderful Galdappy day.
Thanks for listening to Dungeons and Doritos, presented by Nerdy Show. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audio Boom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Dungeons and Doritos was performed by Cap Blackard, Colin Peterson, Lefty Lucy, and Rule Knudsen. This episode was designed and mixed by Colin Peterson and edited by Josh LaForge and Logan Jenkins. Original score was composed and produced by Ryan McQuinn, Mike McQuinn, and Steve O'Bortz, and can be purchased at nerdyshow.bandcamp.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from Dungeons & Doritos. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. You can also find Dungeons & Doritos merchandise like comics, t-shirts, and dice bags at nerdyshow.com/store. Discover more Nerdy Show role-playing and audio dramas on Nerdy Show Theater. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on Twitter at Nerdy Show and Dungeons & Doritos on Facebook. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.